this is a great opportunity to be able to talk to you all. I know it's just joined it with the technology the way it is. It's working out great. It's amazing that we can do this, be able to talk to each other like this. I wanted to talk to you about First Chronicles chapter 29 of First Chronicles. I have all read verse 9 verses, first 10 verses. I wanted to talk to you about my reaction to Mission Sunday. When I thought about what all has been done, probably like all the mission work that's been done, I've just been blown away by what you all have done. When I think about the amount that was done, I know that it's all to the glory of God, so we can reach your place. And I think rightly so. We can rejoice in what has been accomplished. If you look at this passage in First Chronicles, David wanting to build a temple to God. And we know that David could not do it. In First Chronicles chapter 29, or 28, in verses 2 and 3, David says, "Then King David rose to his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brothers and my people. I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and I made preparations for building. But God said to me, "You may not build a house for my name, for you are a man of war and have shed blood." And so David had put in his heart to build a house for God, but he was not able to do that. God did not allow him because of him being a man of war. He was not allowed to build this house. And today, or at this time of David, the only thing they had was still the tabernacle or the tent. So for hundreds of years, God's presence has been seen in this tent. So David wanted to build a more permanent place for God. And so we see that in his heart, but he's not able to do that. But he's able to do it through his son. And so his son builds this temple. But in preparation for the building, we have this scene unfolding in chapter 29 of First Chronicles. And as you look and read through what happened, the collection that was made, and we see all these big numbers, 3,000 talents of gold, 7,000 talents of refined silver, and then we see the numbers that the people had given. If we add all these numbers together to measure their gift, there were 8,000 talents of gold. One talent is about 75 pounds. So there were 8,000 talents and then 10,000 derricks, which a derrick is about a quarter of an ounce, a coin, a small coin. And so in gold, when the people and David gave freely for this offering, they gave 600,156 pounds of gold. In silver, they gave 1,275,000 pounds of silver. In bronze, which is a precious metal at the time, they gave 1,350,000 pounds of bronze. And then 7,500,000 pounds of iron, which was precious at the time also. And so here is the quantity that the people of Israel and David, they put together a free will offering for the building of the temple of God, for the house of God. And here is how they gave. If you look in verse 9, then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. And so as an offering that's given to God, we can rejoice. Of course, the glory goes to God in all things that we do, because we live and breathe to glorify God. It is our duty as servants. It is our will to give all glory to our Father. But we can rejoice in what we have accomplished and what Palm Beach Lakes has accomplished for mission work. that each one of you have done individually, and the sacrifices you have made personally to make this happen, so we can rejoice together, because it was an offering that was given freely, from a whole heart. So we look, and we see in the next section of this chapter, we see David's prayer as he prays in the assembly. But if we look at the example of the gift, it is not so much how much that was given, but how it was given. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, when Paul talks to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he writes to them and says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And this is the same sentiment that was echoed by David by this free will offering that gave him a whole heart, that they gave freely, the gave of what God had given them. And when he thinks and sees the widow in Mark, chapter 12, verses 42 through 44, we see Jesus teaching his disciples about giving. And he said, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which makes a penny, or a mite. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. All she had to live on. And so as God looks upon those who offer, who give freely from the heart, it is not so much how much that was given. It was the heart with which it was given with. And you are to be you are to be commended for the kind of heart that you have given over these past 10 years, and you continue to have a heart that loves the law. First, loves God. And second, has a desire to teach the law, not only in Palm Beach County, but around the world. And as David continues with the people, talking to them, he has this to God, beginning in verse 10. And he says, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, Israel, our father, forever and ever. The Lord, the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty for us in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And as he focuses here in this section, in verse 14, he says, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for you, your holy name, comes from your hand, and is all your own. As David talks to them and praises God, he says, God, he exalts God. God is the God of everything. In verse 16, he clearly states that what they were giving God had already come from God. It was already his that they give back out of their abundance. They give to him. And he humbles himself and the people. He says, who are we? Who am I? And who are the people that we should be blessed in such a way to be able to give this to you? And so when we give with the right motive, we humble ourselves and realize that it is all to the glory of God, and it was his to begin with. And you exemplify that. You are examples of that kind of giving. and he was rephrasing that. He talks to them and tells God that we are but sojourners. And it's a very similar thing that Peter mentions in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning of verse 9, Peter writes, "As you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against the soul." And so Peter clearly states that we are in the same situation. We are sojourners on the earth. And we serve God, and we live to be his people. We have received mercy when we have not mercy, and we receive this state of being exalted as his friend when we did not deserve it. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. He goes on to say, verse 12, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that you may speak against when they may speak against your evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." And so in all these things, the purpose is to glorify God. What was given on this past Sunday was to the glory of God, to do his work, to build his house. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 21 refers to the church as the house of God. And so it is the same, very similar, in the fact that you have given to further the house of God, to further the teaching, to continue the work of the house of God all over the world. And so David talks to the people, he commends them for what they're doing, and says to them, they are to be commended. And look also in 1 Peter chapter 5. "And they humble themselves," and David says, "Who are we? Who am I? Who are the people?" They humble themselves. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." And so humility, all that we do glorifies God. As we walk in humility with him, we can be humble, but we can rejoice together in what has been accomplished for the kingdom of God. And finally, as he comes to the end of this discourse, verses 17 and 18, he says, "I know my heart, in my heart I have truly offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you." And so my message to you, or the message this evening to you, is this: God knows our hearts. God knows when we offer these things freely to him. As the example we have here in Chronicles, David says these people have offered freely and joyously. And also in verse 18, he prays to God, "Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and your hearts towards you." David knows. When we talk about David is a man after God's own heart. And David knows that he tests the heart. He even says in Psalm 26, verses 1 and 2, "Test me, try me, you know my heart." And so David understands, has a close relationship with God. In Psalm 23, verse 3, he says, "He restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so he knows that God is the one that leads him, that continues to guide him. And he prays that is the case for the people. And this is not just a building of the temple, but is a time of passing for David. It's a point of transition. As Solomon is going to take more responsibilities in the kingdom, he prays that this continues to be the case. is that people continue to be, to have this heart to give to God. And so my prayer for you is that you continue in this kind of this thing. Keep forever such purposes and thoughts in your heart, and that God directs the paths of your heart toward you. That is my prayer for you, that you continue to be in this thing, continue to walk in these things towards God. When we heard about what had been done for evangelism, it makes me think, I think first of how much you love God. It exemplifies a congregation that it takes very seriously their obedience to God's word. And I've heard of individual stories of sacrifices that were made and things that were done in order for Christ. And I think also of how much you love the lost and how much you love us, continuing to support us in the work that we're doing down here at Fairview. And so I want to commend you for what you have done. We can rejoice together in something like this. But we know that all the glory and all the praise goes to God. We love you very much. We are so thankful for this continued relationship. The children came back energized, and they really enjoyed the time they spent with you recently. Of course, Vivian reestablishing a personal relationship she has there with somebody who won't be named. And the time that they spent with you, they talked very much about Palm Beach Lakes. Josiah, every once in a while, he says, whenever we go back to Florida. So in the future, he has in his mind to come back to Florida. He doesn't talk about going back to Texas. He doesn't talk about going back to Tennessee. He talks about going back to Florida because that's the home he knows. And he knows you. And so it is a connection that we feel very closely and makes it possible for us to do what we're doing. David, or Dan rather, asked me the other day, is there anything we can do to help you, to continue helping you? And I said, I don't know what more can be done. You may not know it, but the white card that y'all sent to us when we first moved down, we still have those. And the kids still want to get those out and read those from time to time. And so you drew pictures on them and had messages. And we tell them, you remember this person that wrote this? And, oh, yeah, I remember that person. And so those are still doing good and still energizing us. And the kids. And so I want just to say I love you, and we appreciate all that you have done for the work here in Paraguay, for my family, and for the kingdom of the Lord, and for the house of God. If you are here tonight, this has not been a message that is one of a call to God. It's not been a gospel message, but it's been an example of one where people who love God and who truly want to do His work are here together in this place. And so if you are asking yourself, can I be a part of this household of God? Can I be a part of this family? You can. When those in Acts chapter 2 asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter responded, repent and be baptized. And there are those here this evening that if you have that same kind of question, I want to be a part of this family. They'd be willing to talk with you about what it means to be a part of the family of God, what it means to be a part of the house of God. If you have any need to respond to the invitation, please come now as you stand and as you